Hello and welcome to The Wound Doctors, a podcast series dedicated to the study and improved treatment of wounds. These episodes are brought to you by ConvaTec, pioneering trusted medical solutions to improve the lives they touch. My name's Rod Murray, but you won't be hearing much from me on this episode, as this is a special presentation of an interview my co-host Dr. Fran Henshaw did at the recent Wounds Australia conference in Sydney. On day one, Dr. Fran sat down with specialist wound nurses Kim Kame and Marie Francis to talk all things venous leg ulcers and compression therapy. Now, there was a slight glitch with Fran's audio at the start of the interview, so we picked things up where Fran has just outlined that 225,000 people in Australia live with a venous leg ulcer and that the main form of therapy is compression.
But we also know that taking the horse to water is very, very difficult in this situation, and people often really don't want to have this therapy that we know is very important to them. And obviously we have to look at our patients holistically, and we have to look at their ideas, their concerns and their expectations when we make a management plan. But this often means that sometimes they don't really want to have this compression, and that's so vital to their treatment. Is this what you're finding, Marie?
Oh, absolutely. And they'll come into hospital and I say, have you ever worn stockings? And you get this very shy, stockings? What do you mean about stockings? Yeah, oh yes, I think I have been told to wear stockings. And they haven't, they've lapsed. It hasn't been appropriate for them. They haven't been able to get them on or get them off as they get older, which is enormously problematic, you know. And then they do something to their leg and they've got nowhere to go after that too. So, and they say, please don't you start to tell me about compression too, you know. So they just, there's a block for
there
many,
is.
Many people.
It's almost like people who smoke, isn't it? They know they shouldn't smoke and they're almost sheepish to talk about
oh,
it because they
so
think they'll,
sheepish.
They'll
yes.
get a lecture.
No, not you too, they say to me.
So how on earth do you try to turn these people around? Or indeed, could you tell us a story
it's
about
so
how you've managed
hard.
To?
It's so hard. But it's not a story that I did. It's somebody I watched somebody, such an impressive clinician when I was down in Melbourne. This woman came into her clinic saying, I'm not putting compression on. And she just said, okay, no problem. But by the end of it, she got her out of the clinic with triple layer tubi grip at least. And with just very gently,
you mean,
listening to what
you
she's
mean
saying.
Adjustable, self-controlled that,
yes.
tubi grip.
Well, what, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that was the thing. She was able to go, can I take one of these off if I want to?
Of course you can.
And she said, yes, absolutely. Right. It put her back in control.
So she's
and
empowered.
I was in awe of this clinician empowering this patient. And I've taken that to into my practice. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think that's exactly what you need to do. You need to give the person who's
yes.
got the leg ulcer some kind of control. Is that
yeah.
what you would say, Kim?
Absolutely. I mean, we're dealing with adults. They have to make their own choices to whether or not they're going to wear it. It's not like they're five-year-olds and you can go, you must learn your ABCs, and they go off and do it. And I do absolutely love the adjustable one. Just yesterday I was talking with somebody here at the conference and they said, I mentioned something about compression and she said, oh yes, but what kind of compression? I said, I honestly don't really care. So long as they're in something that is suitable for the individual, suitable for them.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And that's so important. They're not children. We are not children. They are not children. They're not our, it's not our wounds.
Mm.
It's their wound.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to have whatever they need to work in with their lives.
And they have to live with it.
And they have to live with it forever, you know, and that's scary.
So we've talked about the fact that a lot of people don't like to wear compression. What are the barriers to it?
There might be one or two. Now, you're brilliant. I've worked with you before, quite health literate, and I suspect pretty much all the people who listen to this podcast, they're listening to it because they are quite health literate. So I'm just going to ask you a couple of questions, but you don't have to answer. You can just nod. I'll just keep talking. So I want you and your listeners in your heads to answer some of these questions. So firstly, you know, if you're female, have you had a pregnancy? Have you been pregnant? Have you had children?
No, because I'm not very good with children. I had my friend's baby in the shop when I was little, and I decided at that point that I was
idea.
Never going to have children because I wasn't responsible.
You have.
Well, yes,
so
I've had a baby.
Well, maybe are you perhaps a little bit over the recommended BMI? Are you carrying a little bit of extra weight?
What is going to conferences and eating all the food, so yes.
That too.
Exactly.
Or your job. Is your job heavy lifting? Does your job involve a lot of that? increased internal pressures involved with standing all day, sitting in a chair all day where you're blocking off your femoral return. Mm. If you're answering yes to a couple of these, then my next question, which I do want you to answer honestly right now to yourselves and to me, are you wearing compression right now?
No. Oh, goodness. Well, I have to say, I do have varicose veins. Yes. I do sit. I have quite a sedentary job. And so I tick a lot of your boxes. And I have to say, I'm not just not wearing them today. I never wear
don't.
Them.
Don't. I know. I know. And you actually mentioned to me something earlier about, you know, why you might not, or why somebody in your position might not, because of the appearance of it as well. Mm. You can't dress to the nines. And I had this absolutely gorgeous Scottish woman who was a patient of mine. She was 93 at the time. She would come in fully dressed, like fully yes. decked out. Yeah. Hair was never out of place. Makeup was beautiful. And she had four leg ulcers, medial, lateral, left and right. She injured herself while we were treating her and got a fifth one off of her rose bushes. But we had all wow. five healed within, you know, 6 months or something, yeah. which was lovely. But we had an understanding, the two of us, that she would wear her compression diligently throughout healing plus 4 weeks.
Yeah.
But she would not wear it after that. But it was her choice. And I actually got to visit her several years later, because we then did another study with QUT where I went and stole some blood off her. But anyway, a genetic study. It's awesome. Anyway, I went and had a chat to her, and I said, how have you been? Have you had any? Yes, yes, I got another ulcer. I put my compression on. It healed Aww. Within 3 weeks, and then I wore it for another 4 weeks, and then I stopped wearing it again. Yeah. Like this, she was like 96 at this stage, still living by herself. Oh, my God. So, I mean, it's that. If you can communicate to a person on that adult level and they understand internally what it does, how it does it, or not necessarily how it does it, but what it does and what they need to do to manage themselves. Yeah. I never saw her again in my clinic. Yes, she got another wound, but she
was able to manage it. Yeah, because you taught her. You and her had formed a good relationship,
yes.
a respectful
Even, like,
adult
couldn't
understand relationship.
A word she said, because her Ottish bruch was so strong.
She might have said the same about
yeah,
you.
Yeah, she probably did.
How much whiskey did she drink to aid
healing? Well,
she never offered
me any.
No, but I think it's interesting what you say about the 4 weeks after something's healed, because, you know, just to, you know, fly my own flag, I'm presenting something at the conference this afternoon when we've actually ultrasounded a lot of wounds. And what we know is that when they've epithelialized,
they're not healed.
And we've looked underneath the wound with our ultrasound. So I think what you're saying is very sensible. And I think it's one of those things that we don't really know what this time frame is. But if we don't know what it is, attaching an arbitrary figure like 4 weeks is better than saying congratulations. Because
exactly.
wound recurrence rates in venous leg ulcers are pretty high,
still
aren't they?
That's the thing I think you also need to discuss with your patient. If they do not wear compression, now this is super old research, so please, there's probably something newer. If they do not wear their compression, they have something like an 80% chance of recovery of recurrence in 12 mm. months. If they do wear their compression, they have an 80% chance of recurrence in 5 years. Okay, so you need to make them aware. You need to make them aware, because you don't want to instill hopelessness either. Because if they go, I've been wearing my compression diligently for 18 months and I got an ulcer, and you go, well, that's good, but that's right. You know it's going to happen, but you're in compression. You will heal more quickly. Don't just give up on it because of this.
Yeah. And some patients, I worked at QUT and we had a well leg check.
Yes, I love you.
Fabulous.
I do a healthy leg check myself.
Fabulous yeah. concept. And the patients were so proud of themselves when
yes.
they'd come in 3 months and go, look, Marie,
I'm still good.
Look, I haven't got any ulcers. I'm really good.
Yes.
We
that
could,
really
it
motivating.
Was
it
really
is great.
For some people, that's it. You know,
yeah.
they have to show their clinician, show someone that they're doing a good job. Look here, I've done a good job. And it's, you know, pats on the back all around, you know. And then that check of their skin is the other thing that I think is so important, that they're continuing to moisturise, that they're continuing to look after their skin. And that was fantastic.
Well.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Yeah. And they do, they should be getting, every 12 months, they should be getting a new arterial assessment. And every 6 months, just make sure that they've gotten a new pair.
Yes.
Well,
oh, yeah.
I like 4 months, but, you know, whatever, 6 months, whatever.
But these are so easy to put on now.
Yeah, they're easy to put on. They're somewhat stretched.
Yeah, that is the thing. I think people, I've seen them, they've pulled out their stockings that they've had for 5 years.
In the drawer.
Or the ones they've got far too big.
Oh, and holes and runs.
Yes. And so I think, you know, it is one of those things. It is this education piece. And I love this idea of this wellness check because I think that's a really key thing in people keeping up with the good work, to have this kind of reminder.
Yeah, and it's, as we heard this morning, it's patient-centred or person-centred. So you can talk to them about other things in their life that might be a stressor, you know, anything, you know, and it's a connection to a clinician that still is going to look after them. You know, I think that's important. I really do.
And the other thing I do too, in my clinic, I've got about 6 different devices to actually make it 7 to help you either get your stockings on or off.
Oh, yes.
And I lend them to the patient for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So they can take it home and try it, because everybody is different. What works for some people doesn't work for others. And that's just another way that I help them to help themselves.
Yeah, and that's so important in the acute care setting when they're still sick. And we say to them, oh, you're going to need compression. Who's going to put it on for me? They can't cope with even being sick, let alone the thought of what's going to happen in 3 weeks. So telling them and knowing that they've got these things that can help them is a big incentive for them to go, okay, that's something I don't have to worry about now, you know.
Yeah, I think you've made some really good points there. It's about getting them on and off. And luckily, we've got some very varied ways of putting compression onto people now, haven't we?
So much better than it was.
So I think, you know, overall, we've really discussed here what the barriers are. We've talked about how we can overcome them. And it's really about this patient-centered plan, isn't it? It's
absolutely,
not telling them what they need to do. It's really finding out what their motivation is or what the reasons are that they're not doing something. And I would imagine in the sunshine in Queensland where you are, you probably get more resistance to having your legs wrapped up.
Yeah.
But, you know, if someone's going to have their legs wrapped up for 4 weeks, it's better than having a venous leg ulcer for 4 years, isn't it? So I guess that's a trade-off. Well, ladies, thank you so much for taking the time to stop by at the ConvaTec booth.
Very welcome.
I think ConvaTec, we do make compression bandages, but we've not talked about them today.
No.
But I'm sure people can come up to the booth if they want to, and our sales team will be able to tell them. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Some terrific stuff there from Dr. Fran at what was a fascinating 3 days at the Wounds Australia Conference. Well, that's it for this episode of the show, but make sure to keep following along as we'll be back again soon with another edition of The Wound Doctors.